Please take your Bibles and turn in them with me first to the New Testament, the book of Galatians, Galatians 4, beginning at verse 21. It's found on page 1238, Galatians 4, beginning at verse 21. Continue our series through the book of Genesis, but we read first from this portion of Galatians. Galatians 4, beginning at verse 21. People of God, hear now not my words, but the very words of the Holy God. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman, and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband." Now you, brothers, like Isaac, our children of promise. And we'll turn back to the book of Genesis, chapter 17, beginning at verse 9. It's found on page 15, first book of the Bible. Genesis 17, we'll begin reading at verse 9. Our focus will be on verses 15 through 21. Genesis 17, beginning at verse 9. And God said to Abraham, "As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring, both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." And God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her. And moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. When he had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. Then Abraham took Ishmael his son and all those born in his house or bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very day Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised, and all the men of his house, those born in the house and those bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. As far as the reading, God's holy word. Congregation, all of us like to be included. All of us like to belong. We don't want to be on the outside looking in, so to speak, but involved, part of the group, part of the family, part of a community. How much more is this the case when we're speaking of the covenant community, and fellowship with God? To belong to God's covenant, to partake of the blessings of union and communion with God, what could be better? What a gracious God we have, that God is generous with those whom he binds to himself, whom God makes covenant with. We find that in our passage before us this morning, as I proclaim to you that God includes many in his covenant promises. God includes many in his covenant promises. And first we consider Sarah. Sarah is included, including Sarah, verses 15 through 17. And we're picking up where we left off during the Lord's appearing to Abram when Abram was 99 years old and having renamed him Abraham, having instituted circumcision as the sign of the covenant. We come now to verse 15. And God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name." What do we see here? Well, we see a renaming, right? Sarai to Sarah. But we see that God cares. God cares about Sarah. God cares about marriage. In the beginning, God made man and woman husband and wife, didn't he? Genesis 2, verse 23 through 24 says, where Adam says, after God presents Eve to him, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." So God made man and woman, Adam and Eve, and joined them together as one flesh. God joined them together in marriage. Why then would God undo with the covenant what he established in creation concerning husband and wife? Similarly, with including the children of believing parents. Why would God undo with the covenant what he established in creation concerning the household? He doesn't. The same God who created the heavens and the earth, who united man and woman in marriage in the beginning, who gave them the blessing, it was a blessing, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. It's the same God who has bound himself in covenant. Redemption doesn't work against creation. Redemption restores, consummates, completes creation. Why? Because it's the same God. That's what we've seen in Genesis, the same God. There's one God, creator of all, sustainer of all, sovereign over all history and households, who is also redeemer of his people. Throughout these verses, if you look, God refers to Sarah, not just as Sarai or Sarah, but Abraham's wife. That comes out very clearly. God values marriage. God values women. It is this God who comes to you and to your wife and to your children and says, "I love you, I give myself to you and for you, trust and obey." God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah will be your name." And then we move on, verse 16, "I will bless her. And moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." So Abraham is not the only one who's blessed. Sarah is also blessed. The promised seed will come through Sarah, 90 years old, and now she will give birth, and give birth not only to a baby, but the one through whom the Messiah will come. What an incredible blessing. And more, God declares a second time, he will bless Sarah. That comes through. This time the blessing is that she shall become nations. Not just Abraham, she will be. Now, although God instituted male headship in family and church, that does not mean women are worthless or discarded. No. Even as God made male and female in his image in creation, so in covenant, the woman is also blessed. The woman also shall become nations. The woman also shall lead to kings. The blessing for Abraham is also for Sarah. Be encouraged, ladies. God cares for you. You matter to God. Like we saw when Abram and Sarai, what that culture viewed of women, when Sarai gave her servant Hagar to Abram. It's like, what's going on here? God shows us the right way here. We passed lightly over something before. Here we'll deal with it a little more concerning the honor that it would be to give birth to kings. Again, even with Sarah, it's in the plural. Kings, not merely a singular, a king. But then think about, what would it be like to be the mother, grandmother, ancestor of a king? Moms, maybe you think your child, your children are special. Well, and they are. Maybe you think they're gifted in a very particular way. Maybe you think they're wow, it's amazing, this child. Maybe you think this child will be great, will grow up to be someone who thinks the world is significant. Well, imagine if God came to you and told you, kings of peoples will come from you. Well, it changes your whole perspective, doesn't it? Sarah will be involved in the shaping of nations. The labor, the nurture she will invest in her child will be just that, an investment. It will yield results, abundant results. Even better, sure result, because God has said her labor will not be in vain. God will use her labor to bring about rulers over mankind. Here she is, 90 years old, barren to this point, yet God will have kings of peoples come from her, through her. How much more than fathers and mothers today, when God tells you, not that your children will be civil rulers of the city, the county, the state, the nation, but the Lord's covenant is with them. They are sanctified in Christ the Messiah. They are God's children. The Spirit of the Holy God, what is baptism witness, but promises to live within them. And we're not talking about being presumptuous here. We're talking about focusing on the impact these children will have in God's providence, that a blessing is upon them. It helps gives an eternal perspective, doesn't it, ladies, to diaper changing, to education, to family worship, to everyday discipleship. Remember that as you raise your children. Men, your labor in your work out there, that's good. But don't put it above raising your children, husbanding your family. Certainly don't seek after earning enough money for a bigger and better truck, a vacation home, or what have you, so you neglect leading your family in worship, reading and talking about God's word, prayer, going through the doctrines of the church. Keep your priorities right by God's grace. Kings! Kings are promised, Sarah. Mothers, yes, raising these babies, these young children, those teenagers, it takes a lot of work, doesn't it? Sleep-deprived nights, cooking, cleaning, clothing, teaching, tending, nurturing, loving, self-sacrifice. Looks what God promises. Be encouraged. Your labor is not in vain. God sees, God cares, God values, God blesses. The world thinks of stay-at-home moms as wasting their time, wasting their talents, wasting their energy. God takes the opposite view. Moms, you're doing a great and mighty work. Yeah, it's too great for you. You need the Spirit of God to empower you, to sustain you, and He does. Ask Him. Plead His promises, His blessing to your children, and ask for strength and righteousness and patience and wisdom and love to raise these children rightly. God said, I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. Raise your children to take their place as Christians in the church, in the home, in the world. Members and active participants, as Peter tells us, of a royal priesthood. Royal priesthood. Every Christian is that. It's ours in Christ. Your children will judge angels. Paul teaches that. Be encouraged. Press on. Look at how Abraham responds to God's, including Sarah, in the covenant blessings. Verse 17, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said to himself, Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? What do we make of this? Now, on the one hand, God doesn't rebuke Abraham here for laughing. Combine that with Abraham's falling on his face. That's reverence. That's not mockery. On the other hand, it seems like Abraham's doubting God. He refers to, how is it that a child would be born to such old persons? Along with this, that laughing, that comes up again in chapter 18 and later, and there, it's not good. Sarah laughed and was rebuked by God for doubting God's promise, God's power. Combine this with Abraham, that once again, seeming to discount Sarah's role in the promise of offspring. Sarah is his wife. She is co-heir with Abraham of the grace of life, as 1 Peter tells us in 3 verse 7. Don't forget that, Abraham. Don't be so influenced by your culture you forget these truths. Additionally, in verse 18, Abraham asks that Ishmael would live before God. That's not putting all your hopes on the promise of God of the one coming through him and Sarah. What we read last time from Romans 4 about Abraham's faith growing strong wouldn't have to refer to this verse here, but what comes after. So what do we make of this with Abraham? Well, he's certainly not mocking the Lord. Far from it. Best read, it seems that Abraham is viewing God's promise as unnecessary. He has an heir, it would appear. That heir is Ishmael, it seems. Natural circumstances, no miracle needs to be worked. Miracle isn't needed for an heir to come. He's already here, Abraham brings up. But that's not God's way. God is a God of miracles. God is a God of husband and wife. Abraham's God is also Sarah's God. And God will bring about an heir through them by a miracle. A child of His promise, not the child of Abram and Sarai's stumbling works, as we saw with Ishmael. Sarah is included by grace through faith. God includes many in His covenant promises. But He doesn't include all. Many, many, but not all. And we come in our second point about Ishmael, where Ishmael is excluded. We see that here, verse 18. Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." Ishmael's 13 years old. He's Abraham's son through Hagar. Abraham loves his son Ishmael. And Abraham wants what is best for Ishmael. It seems Abraham realizes that with this promise from God, Ishmael will be replaced. But God never promised that Ishmael would be the heir. That was Abraham. That was Sarah's scheming. Abraham wants Ishmael to live before God. And what does it mean to live before you? Well, it's certainly that Ishmael may have life. They would continue to live. They would not die early without descendants. But it's more than that. Because it's before God that Abraham wants Ishmael to live. The same God who said in verse 1, "I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless." Abraham wants Ishmael to be the one through whom the Messiah comes. Abraham wants Ishmael to be like Abraham is, a follower of Christ, leader of the church at that time. Abraham wants Ishmael to take up Abraham's role when Abraham passes from the scene. Now, Abraham should be commended for his love for his son. parents should always want the spiritual best for our children. There was nothing wrong in and of itself with what Abraham desired here, this blessing for his son. Parents, we don't know what God's secret will is concerning each of our children, but it's good to follow in the footsteps of Abraham to pray for each of your children. Not merely for earthly blessings, but especially for spiritual blessings. Ask God to bless your children, to bless them with faith, hope, and love. Ask God to fill your children with the Holy Spirit, that they would grow up and they would take their side confessing Christ with you publicly. Don't hold back in praying for God's richest blessing for your children. Now, if we assume the best of Abraham and that he did not doubt that God could work a miraculous birth with him and Sarah, then Abraham here is asking that Ishmael would be heir instead of the child born to him and Sarah. God may grant him additional children even through Sarah, but Abraham would like Ishmael to be the heir. And that fits with what we know of biblical culture, that the firstborn son is viewed in a special light. Now, Lord willing, we'll revisit this in our Advent series coming up this year, a little preview of that. But it comes out even here. Ishmael is Abraham's firstborn son. Ishmael isn't Sarah's firstborn. Isaac would be that, but he is Abraham's firstborn. Now, young people, can you think of other firstborn sons in the book of Genesis, and how those turned out? Well, Cain, yeah, not good. Esau, yeah, not good either. Reuben, yeah, not good either. Not pretty promising, isn't it? Ishmael is the firstborn son, and there's the cultural thinking that he has a place of prominence, but not in God's way here of doing things. Now let's step back and let's think theologically about this. And we saw Ishmael was the result, came about by Abram and Sarai's stumbling in faith. A result of the work of man and woman, Abram and Hagar, being able to bring forth an heir. The heir through whom God would save the world. Ishmael is the firstborn. But he exemplifies Abram's and Hagar's human strength. Not God's. Not God's mercy. Ishmael, while individually made in the image of God, therefore having value in the flow of the story, as confirmed by the Apostle Paul in Galatians 4, which we read, ultimately points to man's works. Now, is Abraham thinking that? Well, probably not. But the Apostle Paul brings it out in what we read. God is sovereign over history. And the history recorded in the Bible is especially focused on bringing out God's grace in rescuing sinful man. Not man's providing a Savior. It's God's grace. All glory be to God. What will God say then in response to Abraham's request? Well, we read it there, verse 19 there. First part. God said, no. Now, something interesting. Maybe you've got a translation. And maybe it says, then God said, yes. He said, well, what is it? Is it yes? Is it no? What is going on here? Well, literally, it's, and God said, verily. Or God said, of a truth. Now, we don't speak that way, do we? You know, the intent is no. Because even if yes is chosen as the way to translate it, what does God say? Sarah, your wife will bear you a son. I will establish my covenant with him. That's what God brings out. So God is saying no to Abraham in the sense of Ishmael being the heir. The firstborn will not be the heir. Or as the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 4, verse 23, the son of the slave was born according to the flesh. And we know later the slave's son will not be heir. But there is a blessing God has for Ishmael. And we come to that in verse 20. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. So even though Ishmael will not live before God in its fullest, God grants a measure of earthly blessing to Ishmael. Not by his works, but still it comes according to God's kindness. And it is a blessing. We read that word, and that's a right translation. We know from later on in Genesis, as we brought up before, Ishmael's not a believer. But God's own word uses the word blessing to describe the earthly abundance Ishmael will experience from God's hand that Ishmael will have to give account of and account for. As we brought up before, Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 26, rings true, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What shall a man give in return for his soul?" Young people, your parents, they want you to experience God's blessing upon you in earthly things, but especially spiritual. Life is not found in having a cool truck or a healthy body or a kind circle of friends or in money. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Ishmael will have some blessing. The Bible uses that word. But he will miss out on the greatest blessings, eternal blessing. The promises are not for all, but they are for many. And we turn to, in our third point, another one who will experience blessing. That's Isaac. That Isaac is included, including Isaac. We see to where Isaac is introduced here in the flow of the story. In verse 19, God said, "No, but Sarah your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him." Verse 21, "But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year." God will follow through on his promise to bless Sarah, such that she will give birth to a son. 90 years old and giving birth to a son. That's a miracle. That's a miracle on a number of levels. You know, it makes it plain, salvation is of the Lord. God is all powerful. God is not hindered by the frailty, the barrenness of man. Even more though, God is not stopped by the sin of man. God will bring to himself for his own glory a people brought out of guilt, out of sin, out of death. Think ahead to the gospel accounts, Matthew 9. Jesus said, when there was a man before him to heal, "Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." God can work miracles of healing. Healing the barrenness of Sarah, giving strength to conceive and bring to full term and raise a child. But God can work the even greater miracle of forgiveness, bringing about the redemption of sinners. And God's power throughout salvation history, redemptive history, to work mightily in earthly ways, to work miracles that even the barren give birth, it points to God's power to overcome sin, Satan, death. If God can do that, and he can, dear child of God, have no fear, he's watching over you. And he can turn aside all evil or turn it to your profit. And we see here a very clear connection to the Messiah. For in the fullness of time, God will fulfill his promise to send a Messiah. And God will work a mighty miracle in bringing it to pass. It will not be a barren woman who will conceive. It will be a virgin. The Virgin Mary. No male will be involved at all in that conception. That's a miracle. You see, women are not sidelined in the Christian faith. They're rightly valued. By going back to God's word, we understand a Christian worldview. There are males and there are females. They are both made in the image of God. They're rightly valued. And females are necessary because the Redeemer, a male, a man, comes about without the activity of a male at all. Christ will be born of a virgin. And it's a miracle that has an even greater dimension to it. For the Messiah who is born is man, certainly, but he is also God. God the Son. That's a miracle. That's a great mystery. that the person of God the Son will take to himself a human nature, be conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Why? As the Creed puts it, for us men and for our salvation. With God's promising this miracle of Sarah's giving birth to Isaac, God is setting the stage for even greater miracles, like that of sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Why? So he would take upon himself something that no mere man could do. Not even a man born miraculously of a barren woman. Not even a man granted miraculous strength. Think of Samson. Jesus took upon himself our spiritual obligation. He took upon himself our guilt of sin, the weight of God's wrath against our sin. Jesus, though innocent, though personally righteous, became sin for us. Why? To pay fully for our sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He suffered on Golgotha's cross. He died accursed. But on the third day, another miracle. He rose from the dead. Victorious. Another miracle, a great miracle, that of bringing into our reality the principle of the new heavens and the new earth, of resurrection. That's greater than just reversing barrenness. So, people of God, do not doubt God's love for you, those with whom He establishes covenant. Don't doubt that God has the power to bring to pass His promises to you, to bless you. Oh, not maybe as you think of or the world thinks of in an earthly way, but truly to bless. Hold on to that. Blessing someone like Ishmael with being fruitful and multiplying, fathering 12 princes, making him into a great nation, that's nice. But it's nothing compared to bringing a sinner into God's presence in the glories of heaven. That's who your God is. And He establishes covenant with you and your children. That's who God is, who promises to establish covenant with Isaac. It's through Isaac that Abraham's seed will be called. It is through the child of God's promise. Not man's works, not man's strength, not man's righteousness. No, God's power, God's grace, and ultimately, God's own beloved Son. God gives a clear timeline, too, for this blessing. Not 400 years as it concerned the land, bringing Abraham's seed out of the land and into the land, but 1 year, 9 months, of which Sarah will be carrying this child. Amazing, miraculous. What a God Abraham serves. What a God who comes to you and me and establishes and keeps covenant. It is this God who comes to you, comes to me and says, trust me always. He forgives your sins, and He empowers you to live for Him. God's mighty power is at work for you and within you. Don't laugh except for joy. Don't doubt, believe. Don't put forward some pious-sounding phrase saying, oh, Lord, that's too much. I'd be satisfied with something else, something less. Embrace God's abounding promises. Again, forgiveness, yes. Simply and solely through entrusting yourself to Jesus, but also sanctification, being renewed, changed, so you can go out and live for Him. The temptations that come to you, the opposition for being a follower of Christ that hits you, the uncertain future, the strains of raising children for the Lord, the struggles of living as a Christian teenager or a 20-something with the pressures of the crowd, of the job, of life. Cry out for God's power to you. Ask God to fill you with the Spirit of His Son so you can live as a Christian. So that you can live before God. And then go out and in faith, in the power of the Spirit, live. God might not work an earthly miracle in your life. He may not make your children into earthly kings, but He works spiritual power. He brings to you the power to live for Him. Because we lack that. So to review, what application have we seen here? As those who are filled with the Spirit of Christ, ladies, first, you're special to God. God's not only the God of men, He's the God of women also. Parents, be encouraged in the work of raising children. You are raising kings and queens. Pray for God's blessing upon your children. Pray for His richest blessing. all of us be encouraged to live for God always in the midst of temptations and pressures. Pray for grace, for power, then step out and live as a child of God. Because you're living for the God of power. God includes many in His covenant promises. He includes you, believer. So that means He is at work within you to live as a member of His covenant in grateful service, love to God, and love to your neighbor. Go live for Him. And may God receive all the praise. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a great covenant, what wonderful promises. You bind yourself to sinners and us to you. So many you include in your promises. Not by our works, by grace through faith alone always. Thank you. Draw us to that. Encourage us with that. Strengthen us. May we step out in faith and live as those in your covenant, not doubting, but trusting and obeying, and giving you all the praise. In Jesus' name.